Don't make it too long.
Don't make it too long.
But I can say something silly.
You can say something silly.
Okay. Well, the thing is, we've already started recording, so...
Oh, okay.
I don't feel like I need to today.
You don't need to.
We'll just get straight into it.
Let's go straight into it.
Yeah. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Everyday Hour. Hope you're all doing well. Jack, what's been happening for you lately, man?
Mainly trying to... what I'm trying to do now is I'm thinking about meal prepping and training a bit more regularly and things like that. Dude, springtime in Australia, hay fever is insane. I'm constantly fucking sneezing my hole off.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. I got myself tested two years ago.
What, COVID?
Yes, I was patient zero. No. I went and got a blood test for hay fever and that. And there's like degrees of like hay fever, like sensitivity for allergy tests. And it goes up to like 60.0, and 60.0 is pretty much you're extremely like sensitive to with a hay fever allergy. And he gave me the ticket for it and said 100.0.
Wow.
It said 100.0.
So it's 0.0 just to make sure it's definite.
No, he said that's as far as the machine reads.
Wow.
Like the usual extreme category cuts off at about 60.0, but the machine records until 100.0 and no further. And he said, yeah, we actually don't know how bad you are with hay fever because the machine can only record to 100.0. So most likely you're much more above that. So I'm terrible around hay fever season. So I feel pretty good today. I keep having my medication and like spraying shit. But if I start like sneezing my hole off on the podcast, don't blame me. It's a genetic thing. So what do you want to start us off with? Because this is...
Well, I want to start us off with something like that's absolutely obscene. I was scrolling through social media this morning just trying to think of some things that we're going to talk about today because lately we've been pumping them out and there's only so much we can talk about. But the thing is, in today's world, you've got to sort of like choose the things that are worth mentioning because there's so much information these days.
I know.
So I saw this on the news, and this happened in Victoria, but apparently a guy who owns a very nice green Lamborghini, so obviously this guy's got a bit of money on his hands. He wrote on his number plate LGOPNER, which is meant to stand for leg opener.
Oh.
And he's got his car confiscated.
Really?
Yeah, he got his car
because of that.
Because of the plates. Well, I didn't know. Well, I mean, I've not been that, but I can think of worse things to put on your number plates and just.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, sure. I'm guessing he was a bachelor, so I mean,
most likely, yeah.
What's wrong with having that on your number plates?
I mean, it's obviously a pretty poor choice, but I wouldn't call it like offensive or anything like that. A lot of people will just like look at that and be like, douchebag.
Yeah, or see it as a joke, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're gonna see it as a joke, or they're just gonna be like, twat.
The guy's just trying to flex, that's who he is. I mean,
yeah, it sounds like he's got a green Lamborghini. What else are you gonna put on your number plate, you know?
Well, I mean, pretty sure there's worse things you can say on your number plates.
Yeah, it sounds like the dude's compensating anyway. Yeah. But you're probably not opening that many legs, but he's opening
a lot of mouths, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, well now he's got his bloody car confiscated, so I'm sure he's going to go back to unpersonalized plates now.
You can get I think he got fined for it too.
How much do you reckon he got fined?
But if he drives a car like that, you know,
I'm pretty sure he's
going to be able to pay off like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I want to bring up something.
Yeah, go on.
Because there's someone near us in Perth who's got a Ferrari.
Okay.
And it has the number plate number 4.
Yep.
So it's literally the digit 4. So for you to get a 1-digit number plate is super expensive. But I actually thought...
Why is it expensive?
Personal plates are always expensive, right? But then they still cost, you know, maybe half a grand, upwards to a grand. And then the less digits you have, the more expensive the plate becomes. But this guy has the number 4 as his Ferrari. So obviously he's got a bit of money. So to even buy that plate is very, very expensive, right? But I found out that even if I was... So let's say I had enough money to buy that Ferrari, right? If I wanted that same plate transferred into my name, it would cost me 11,000... Australian dollars just not to buy the plate or buy the car, just to transfer the plate into my name, just to have the number 4 also on my car. That's fucked. It's insane how much some people have money and they're just like, yeah, why not?
Well, the thing is, man, I just want to ask you, if you had your, okay, this, let me ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
If you could have any car in the world, what car would you have?
Nissan Skyline R34 GDR.
Why that car?
It's always just been my dream car. They're getting so stupid expensive now, just becoming more of a collector's item, but yeah, no, that would probably be my favorite car. Yeah. What would yours be?
Mine would be the Aston Martin DBX from James Bond Casino Royale. Something about Aston Martins, man.
DB10.
DB10. That thing is a beast, and I wish it had all the little gadgets that came with it.
That car doesn't exist, right?
It doesn't. I know, but no, it'd be cool if it did.
It doesn't.
The model itself exists, but it's in the shit, not the machine guns.
You think they give cars with rocket launchers and machine guns and shit like that, right?
I think there's some rich oil tycoon in America who's got one of those.
Okay.
Probably like the only one to exist, though. Second question I wanted to ask you was, what would you want to have the number plate as?
Nothing, just normal number plates. I don't think I would change the number plates. I always find it a little bit douchey.
I would have last set pod.
Yeah, you could do that. Not bad, but I would never put like decals, like big stickers on my car. Nah. I wouldn't be able to do it because it just detracts from what it looks like. Okay, so I was just quickly having a look at what... So it's a barrister who's got this Lamborghini. So he's obviously making a shit ton of money. And they've told him that it's an offensive thing. Whereas, the guy, his name is Mr. Lavick. He said that 99 out of 100 people wouldn't know what these letters stood for.
Yeah. So when I looked at it.
Regardless, the Transport New South Wales want the plates. They're like, nah, you can't have that. But the thing is, you gave them the plates. And then they're just like, ah, shit. And then they want them back. Just don't give them the bloody plates. How about you? I don't know. He said himself he was taking the piss out of it. I think it was a bit... It's like...
Well, to the police, I got to say, I know you got a hard job, but I'm sure you got better things to do with your time.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of shit that they probably should be spending more time on. I just love the last line of the article. Mr. Lavick said it was tough shit for anyone who found his number plates offensive. To be honest, he's not that wrong. However, do I think it was a really douchey kind of plate to put on your Lamborghini? Hell yeah. Very douchey.
Either way, he drives a nice Lamborghini. I mean...
Yeah, it still makes you look like a wanker.
Yeah. just the plates itself or just driving the actor driving a Lamborghini?
No, driving the Lamborghini is fine. If you call that guy a wanker for driving a Lamborghini, then you're obviously just a jealous douchebag as well. But if you... I don't know. When you have something like that, it's like... do I want to talk about the... I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if you have the Wanda and Vision trailer. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's... What I looked at it, I was I didn't like it.
When did it release?
Just this morning.
I haven't seen it. Can I watch it?
You can watch it. Do you want to do a live response to it?
I would do a live response, yeah.
Do a live response if you want to get it up on your laptop.
I'll get it up on my laptop.
I'm not happy with it. I thought it was just
stupid. So I believe it's a trailer, right?
Yeah, it's a full trailer. It's the first full trailer.
No, it's a trailer for...
I thought it was just weird shit. That's what I thought.
But it's a trailer for what do you call it? It's a TV show,
It's a TV
right?
series, so, yeah. It's on Disney Plus. Okay. Which... It was a TV series that nobody asked for. It's just Disney's just trying to keep going.
They're milking.
Yeah, they're just milking the Marvel thing right now. I care more about the Mandalorian 2 trailer, which I saw last week.
That looked great. We can talk about that in a second.
Fucking look legendary.
Right, we'll talk about it in one sec. I've got the WandaVision trailer up. Let's watch it and then see how that goes.
Okay, so for the people who are watching this on the audio right now, Jack just pulled up the Wanda and Vision trailer, so we're watching it live. It's about a minute and 20 seconds long, so it's a short trailer. Just make sure you turn the volume off so we don't get done for.
Is there nothing important that I should be listening to?
No, nothing important at all. Just play it, man. There you go.
I'll put it down really
It's just all visual, like, you know what I mean? You know, because when I think of Marvel, I think, you know, flying through the sky, I think of ass kissing, I think of, you know, whatever.
Ass kissing? You mean ass kicking?
Ass kicking.
Ass kissing.
Ass kicking. Sorry, I think of ass kicking. And then superpowers, you know, big villains, destruction, explosions. Right now we just got a dinner party and some dude slamming the table in an aggressive tone. It's just, yeah, it's like they're trying to take the piss.
I'm very confused what it's about.
Yeah. It is, like, it's not special, man. It's not. It's probably one of the, I think it's the worst trailer I've ever seen for a Marvel TV show / movie.
Very strange. Some of the parts is they've got costumes of like the old school comic costumes, like Wanda's one and Vision's one, but it's very strange.
There is nothing positive I can say.
There's nothing.
Look at the likes to dislikes as well.
Not
1.8K
dislikes. But a lot of people have said that Marvel's making the timeline more confusing than my exams.
Yeah, not even that, but just the whole basis of the movie, the way that it looked like it was some sort of weird alternate universe, I'm not interested in watching. It's just,
I'm super confused what this is, though.
Yeah, I know. You look at it and you go, what the hell is that? Look, the main point is, maybe I'm being a little bit biased, but too early to judge, but just from what I saw so far, I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I just what find I it a bit saw, strange.
What I saw in the Mandalorian Season 2 trailer, really very, very happy with, you know? I mean, I want to know more about the, first of all, it's Baby Yoda. Everyone calls it Baby Yoda, but it's not actually Baby Yoda, right? It's species.
Is Yoda is more mysterious species, yeah, that they haven't even really coined a name.
Yeah, I think like that's probably going to be maybe the goal of Season 2, to understand more about this creature.
Yeah,
and I want to see that. So, I want to see, also I want to see his armor develop. You know what I mean? Because one of the reasons why people love the Mandalorian 2 is that as he progresses, his armor gets stronger. You know what I mean? From that, from the steel that he acquires, and also his weapons increase. He's finally got his jetpack now, so. I don't know what's next for him. Maybe he gets like a cool sword or something.
One thing that we did get to see was that they've teased Jedis and things like that, because, yeah, you know, first Mandalorian was the one that fought against the Jedis, as they were more like mercenaries, just like the more correct Mandalorians now. But the thing is, what hasn't translated from Season 1 is they've teased, that black saber,
yeah,
that Mandalore had as well, that, you know, which that the villain has, as well as they also teased, was it Boba Fett?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Because of the sound effects about him walking around and things like that. So they teased that as well. So that's also an interesting thing that we didn't see translate into this TV series. Perhaps that goes into later on in the Season 2 or maybe a Season 3. To be honest, the only reason I probably tune in for Disney Plus would be for The Mandalorian, because I felt like Season 1 was a breath of fresh air. And a good thing to remember is that I believe the director is, what's his name? I've forgotten his name. He plays Happy in the Iron Man and Marvel movies, but he directs a number of them.
The director of, I'm not sure who the director is of that movie.
I can't remember his name. He's let me bring it up. Jon Favreau.
Oh, okay.
Jon Favreau.
Well, whatever it is, man, the Mandalorian. The reason why I like it so much is because it is a completely different course to the original Star Wars. It's like they're starting fresh, staying true to the source material, but it's a new character. All these characters are new, and they're like sort of creating their own characters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that way it's staying away from, you know, Luke Skywalker and Rey and Darth Vader and all that sort of stuff. It references them, that's fine, but I like the fact that they're coming up with a fresh idea. Like, some of the characters in The Mandalorian, like the fat Bill Burr, remember that episode when they were going onto that prison ship and then Bill Burr was playing as one of the convicts as well. That was my favorite episode. Like, that episode alone introduced all these new characters.
A surprisingly good actor.
He is a surprisingly good actor, yeah. Because it was a shame, though. Hopefully, I see him come back. Because I think the episode ends with... I don't give a shit if you say spoiler alert. But I'm pretty sure the episode ends with him basically trapped on board that vessel. So hopefully they make an appearance again in season two. That'll be pretty cool, hey?
I mean, Bill Burr's also in a few other things recently. He was in paper. He had released his own stand-up comedy, which is Paper Tiger, which was not too bad.
Oh, that was brilliant.
And he's also in that new movie that came out this year, The King of Staten Island.
Did you ever see that?
I haven't seen it yet. What I'm meaning to go watch is I want to see Tenet. I really do want to see Tenet.
Yeah.
I'll maybe see it today or something like that. I don't know. I want to see if I can sort that out because I've heard good things and I haven't been able to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Tenet. Is there any other movies do you reckon that have a coming...
Well, the thing is with Tenet, though, it's got 7.9 IMDb, but 73% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, which is always very strange because you don't expect that to be happening. I don't know which one do I side with the most, IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think?
Gotta be IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes, I don't approve of that much.
I find it doesn't always work that well.
Well, it's because I always like to follow my own opinion when it comes to movies. I don't like to follow too much when it comes to, you know, other opinions, when it comes to the main, you know, consensus. You know, if I don't, that's why I hate going on to certain channels or reviews and all that, and then just like, oh, I feel like sometimes they can be a little bit too biased towards
certain things. Do you know what is coming out next month? It's I Am Greta. I believe it's that Greta Thunberg.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, and I know some people have been talking about that Mulan. I'm not very interested in watching Mulan. I believe Black Widow is coming out at the end of October, just before Halloween, 29th of October when it comes in for Australia. I'm excited for that. Marvel hasn't really been making any moves lately. What are you laughing at?
Dude, I Am Greta has got on IMDb a 3 out of 10. Okay, IMDb, you got my respect back. But it's got 86% already in Rotten Tomatoes. How the fuck does that work? Look, I mean...
It's not even out yet. How does that work?
The girls, I feel like they just put her on a pedestal. She's 15 years old. I'm sorry, but...
I don't think she's 15 anymore. I think she's...
Yeah, she was 15. She's 17. I think she's 17 now.
17 or 18 now, yeah.
Yeah, well, at the time she was 15.
It was quite a while ago when they just started talking about her.
I'm just... When she made that speech, like, how dare you? I'm like, well... What do you propose? That's why I said that she gave a speech. It was just insulting. And I was like, yeah, climate change. But here's the thing. Everyone was doing strikes for climate change, right? Then COVID hit. No one was talking about climate change anymore. The thing is,
trying to cover their asses.
Yeah, I know. It was just a topic of conversation at the time.
Mm.
But deep down, sometimes people just do those things because they want to look good in front of their friends. I'm a guy who believes in individual responsibility rather than collective responsibility.
Yeah, I think when COVID hit, I think a lot of times they went and looked inwards and tried to look for the family rather than doing the environment, things like that. Also, it is hard to do strikes for climate change when you're being told not to go outside and things like that too. So in that degree, I believe that's an important factor to bring up. The thing with that speech, with a lot of people were bringing up that, you know, they weren't a fan of her. I thought it was fine to bring awareness of climate change and things like that. Did I agree with the how dare you and things like that? It seems like you're going to be very critical, right? And then rightfully so, right? There's a lot of shit that isn't good when it comes to the environment. And there's a lot of things... They've only slowly been gradually getting better and better when it comes to legislation and things like that to protect the environment. We know with that, with our own Great Barrier Reef, that there's been a lot of damage to our Great Barrier Reef, as well as things with coal mines and things like that, poisoning our environment. But I don't understand when people are very critical to complain or criticize. I would like them to then have some positive... like a positive form of either legislation or policy or or some form of idea that helps us go forward. If you just complain or criticize about a certain situation, you've done half the job. You've gone up, you've brought awareness, but then you haven't done the step further, which is improve.
Yeah.
Without the improvement, or you, at the end of the day, it is an opinion and you are complaining. When you, if you bring something, do I believe that someone so young who's not actually a professional in any other degree that's particularly important when it comes to environmental change?
You know what?
She's not going to bring up anything important.
Here's the thing that I'd say when I see these protests, like especially ones with climate change, sometimes I just want to get in there. I want to ask myself, okay, how much do you really actually care about doing this kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, they do it and they just want to look good in front of their friends and social media and say, hey, look at me, I'm protesting climate change. They did it with the Black Lives Matter thing. Remember there was a video of the girl who was an influencer? She literally just gives her friend a phone. She says, can you take a photo of me real quick? Go, and there's people marching. She literally just stands on the street, holds a sign, walks back and just walks off the street, and then puts the cardboard thing away and gets her phone back.
I didn't see that.
That was one. And there was another video of people pretending to like put nails into boards during the Black Lives Matter thing because all these businesses were destroyed. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, look, I get it. I'm not a climate change denier. But then again, you got to really ask yourself, how much do you really care? Or do you want, are you just doing it to look good in front of your friends? Because that's what I feel like a lot of people just did, you know what I mean?
I like protests, right? Especially when they stay peaceful and things like that. Do I like it when they get violent and extreme and start hitting each other or hurting each other? No. Do I also think that a lot of people that go to the protests don't actually believe it? They're just being a bit pretentious and virtue signaling? 100%. I think we both know quite a few people that are, when we see them on Instagram or Facebook and they're at the protest and they post a picture or something like that, then we're just like, I know you and you are a virtue signaler.
Yeah.
100%. You say you care about it, but you don't actually do anything.
You care about it, do one act for one point in time and then that's it.
No, you did it for a week or something like that and then you're done. So don't come at everyone else with that type of energy when you don't do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time you've got to lead by example. If you feel that strongly about it, then you better live like that.
And you don't need to tell people all the time.
No, that's the thing. You can do stuff silently. You don't have to give money to homeless people and record it.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell anyone. You can do that if you want to raise awareness, but don't do it just a virtue signal, especially when it's not your fucking job in the first place.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is an interesting topic when it comes to environmental change. Of course, neither of us would ever say that we're climate change deniers. Obviously, climate change is a huge issue.
Of course, it's a huge issue. I understand.
People do deny it is fucking retarded.
Yeah.
Do I think that a lot of people are very quick to complain? 100%. And don't actually bring up some positive ways to move certain businesses away from fossil fuels and things like that, which causes a huge amount of damage to something much, much more sustainable yet economical for them to transition to. Mm-hmm. These are things that I would like to see, but a lot of the time they just complain. A lot of the time they just complain. They don't. Climate change is, sometimes it's a way of them looking good in front of people and kind of being Mr. Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
Mr. Captain Obvious is the one saying, oh, yeah, climate change does exist, this and all the stats that, no shit. Climate change is a thing. No, if you deny it, then you can easily be like, if someone denies it, then you can quite easily be like, well, you're an idiot. Let's go over here, right? You don't have to be having an argument with someone that denies climate change. The obvious, it's quite easy to say that's wrong, but don't complain. Bring a positive policy or something like that. Otherwise, it's just an opinion that there's nothing behind it. There's no gusto behind it. There's no change behind it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got a little bit off topic.
No, that's okay. I mean, it's a good thing to talk. I mean, it's a good thing to talk about. I mean, it's our podcast. So, is there any other topics you want to bring up real quick?
So, the PS5, when is that coming out?
Okay, so we're switching to games.
Yeah,
right.
We're switching to cool. the games.
All right. So, from social justice to video games.
I know. Very quick transition.
Very manly topics here on the Last Set podcast.
Well, there's the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. I know Xbox have brought out something where... either it's with Gatorade or Maximus, and you can get like special drinks at the servo that have been sponsored by Xbox or something.
I did not
like that. Yeah, they've done like a special deal or something like that. I know that you can like pre-order the PS5 console right now.
Isn't it like $700 or something?
I know the pre-order deposit is about just $50.
For
JB Hi-Fi. But the launch price is about $750. Expensive. I can't remember how much I've got my PS4 right there, and I think I bought my PS4 for, I don't know, I bought it right after you actually.
Yeah,
I think
we got it close. I got mine it was December at one point.
I think I got mine for about $250.
Yeah, mine was roughly around that much as well. But what I was gonna say was, I mean, when the PS5 comes out, there's a whole bunch of cool stuff coming out. We've got the new Call of Duty game. I don't play games anymore, but I still just like to watch trailers.
You just sold your PS5.
Yeah, I sold my PS4, yeah.
Disgusting.
We'll just...
Disgusting.
Hey, man, I don't want to fool around and play video games all day. I've got to be doing real shit with my time. Got to be making money.
Until you buy the PS5.
Yeah, well, mate, I don't know. That's the thing. I'm probably going to buy the PS5.
Yeah. It looks sick.
I'll buy it, but it's...
It looks sick.
I know, it looks crispy. Crispy, but the thing is, I might buy it, but it's going to be some point further down the line because I don't want to just walk in and pay $750 straight away. $750, there's a lot of things I could do with that money.
Mm.
There's a lot of things I could do with that.
That's like your rego for your car.
Rego for my car. If I had a house, that's rent for a couple of weeks, pretty much, you know, at least, probably even longer. Depending on where I was staying, you know, $750, that can go into the savings account, that can go into...
It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's an expensive product. I definitely see people purchasing it, though. COVID time, a lot of people still are quarantined in America.
Oh, yeah.
And things like that. I see it being bought, and I see a lot of gaming taking place during COVID.
Yeah, we did a podcast yesterday with the Speakeasy.
Yeah.
Speakeasy guy. Well, by the way, if you're watching this, man, thank you very much for having me on the podcast. You keep doing what you're doing, brother. But... We didn't ask what it was like in Detroit right now with the whole COVID
thing. No. Well, he was mainly asking us a lot of questions about what it's like in Australia. And then we were just saying, you know, we've actually, I think our population is about 23, 24 million. We had about 26,000 people get COVID. 24,000 have already recovered. And we've had about 800 people die, which is a very small percentage compared to the size of the population. And that we're doing quite well currently in Western Australia. However, in Melbourne, Victoria, shit's hit the fan and they're not doing so well.
Yeah, well, Victoria just recorded the lowest amount of cases in 99 days, confirmed cases.
But it wasn't that low, was it? I think, wasn't it something like 14 or 20?
Eight.
It was eight?
Yeah, well, this says updated, Victoria cases updated 21st September at 1:17 p.m. local. Wow. So eight confirmed cases. I've had four new deaths and 94 people have recovered. In Australia cases overall, there's been 26,898. This is above 21st of September. And recovered 24,000. We've had 849 deaths. Of global cases, it's now at 30 million, I believe. And deaths, 959,528. So it's almost at a million, pretty much. You know, and it's not pretty. Some places are still really, really badly affected. I mean, if we were to look at the coronavirus death toll, if you look at the cases around the world, in certain countries, it's still going up quite dramatically, including Brazil. They've been hit hard, man.
I know.
Yeah, Brazil is now at 4 million confirmed cases. India was at 5 million confirmed cases. United States has 6 million confirmed cases. United States had 202,000 deaths. India, this is Wikipedia, by the way, so it's not entirely accurate.
Yeah.
87,000 deaths and 136,000 deaths in Brazil. Brazil got hit late and they got hit hard, man. Mm. Hard. And India let everyone out too early and they got hit
with nothing. I think a lot of people expected that. As soon as they start opening people out like a lot quicker, quicker than everyone else, you're just setting yourself up for a second wave, you know? Yeah.
Well, I can say is there's been no signs of a second wave here in, was it in WA? We've had one new case just recently. It was a 13-year-old boy. He was just returning from overseas, which is where he contracted. Other than that, you know, I think we've now got 5 active cases, but that's it.
What were you thinking for the PS5 though? Would you purchase it anytime soon or
nah? Nah. I'll probably wait like till the end of the year.
I would end of this year.
End of this year.
Shit. Yeah, I reckon it'd be good. I mean, PS4 does fine now, but I think eventually it's gonna be kind of like fizzle out of the market and no one's really gonna use a PS4 anymore. So you have to buy a PS5 the same way that iPhones work.
Well, that's the thing. They're going to stop making PS4s. It's the same way that no one makes PS1s or 2s or 3s anymore. Mm. It's just going to be PS5s. But the thing is, man, I would buy it at the end of the year because it's when it's in the holidays and everyone's going away. Most people are just chilling at home. I have a little bit more free time. So, yeah, I'll probably buy it then.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can get it off some bloody on Gumtree. Maybe I'll just go in and buy it. But all the main games are coming out in November. So, and one of the reasons why I bought the PS4 in the first place is because I wanted to play the new Call of Duty.
True.
Yeah.
True. So that's the Cold War one, right?
Yeah, the new Cold War one's coming out. There's a few differences compared to Modern Warfare. It's a little bit of a throwback to the old school Call of Duty. So they brought back some of the mechanics. There's some gameplay that's out. It's still a little bit too early to talk about. There was a couple of other games that got released, like Cyberpunk. It's on everyone's radar at the moment.
Right. Okay.
And there's a couple of, there's another one I think called Black Myth, which is it's like a God of War, but it's based on Chinese folklore or Japanese folklore, I think, mythology. Yeah. So it's like got that premise of God of War.
Yeah.
But it's like a different period, you get what I mean, a different culture. And the new God of War has been announced as well.
Ragnarok. You love God of War.
Oh, I love God of War. God of War was
a great game. I never got to play it.
Well, the reason why was God of War was one of my favourite PS2 games at the time. And then I played it on the PS3. It was backwards compatible. And I played God of War 3 on the PS3, I think, as well, or a PS4. It's a good game. And then when the new one came out, and it was in Norse mythology, because I love mythology. Mythology is one of my favourite things to read about in my free time. There's no benefit to no one about it. It doesn't help you in any day's society, but it's just an enjoyable thing to read about. So that was one of the reasons why. And the one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to the next game is because Kratos' son is Loki. Now, in Norse mythology, Loki was responsible for Ragnarok. Now, Ragnarok meant the end of days in Norse mythology, where the giant serpent would basically wash up over the world, and basically we got to see the world serpent in the previous God of War game. And also, but in Norse mythology, before Loki would bring the end of the world, he was tortured, basically. And so the story, I'm not entirely sure, but he had a wife, and Loki did something that was uncomfortable. And then what happened was, he was tortured by being strung up, right? And he would have to get this poison onto his face. This poison would drip onto his face, like, constantly. And then he had his wife basically had to hold a bowl underneath him. And basically every time that bowl would go away, the pain would be basically unbearable. So there's a little few blanks in that story. But that was one of the reasons why Loki bought the Ragnarok. It was basically his revenge. Mm. And it involves a war between all the gods and Loki's army of the death. So...
Mm. How do you know this stuff?
Oh, I read about it. So, one thing, there was an author who I'm a big fan of called Neil Gaiman.
I don't know this guy.
Yeah, he wrote the novel for American Gods, which turned into a book.
Turned into a movie, TV show. Yeah, yeah.
So American Gods is a really, really good TV show, and it's a really, really good book.
I haven't seen the TV show yet.
Okay, so it's like really, really well thought out. Mm-hmm. So if you think of all these other gods from cultures like Norse mythology, Egyptian, like India, Slavic, all these different gods basically are in a war against all the things that basically people worship in today's society, like technology, globalism, media. They're all gods of their own, and it's basically a battle between the two, and this guy called Shadow is caught in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's American Gods.
There's American Gods. There's a season one, and I think there's a season two as well.
Right. I might watch it then. I wasn't too sure about it. I think there was also that other superhero one. Is it Bad Boys?
The Boys.
The Boys?
Yeah. I want to watch that too.
Because now they brought out season two of that, I want to watch it. Apparently it's a bit more of like a nitty-gritty kind of...
Yeah,
similar to the DC, it's quite a bit more a darker kind of show.
Yeah, more bloody, you know what I mean? A little bit more, they're trying to go for that a little bit more realistic sense.
Speaking of superheroes, I wanted to bring this up. People have been making some theories about, so where does the Avengers go from here? They've had Thanos, we talked about this before. With having such a big guy like Thanos, and for them to do time travel, where does this go from here? Now, we know they bring out Ant-Man 3, and they're not too sure who's going to be the big villain. Some people are thinking, are you familiar with Kang the Conqueror?
I'm not familiar with him, but I've heard of him, yes.
You might remember him from something like that, but people are making theories about how potentially, by time traveling and meddling with time against Thanos, that they've produced Kang. And Kang is going to be the new villain for the Avengers to fight against. And they were going to make it that, like, a lot of people have been saying that the theorized idea is that Kang is going to be the villain of Ant-Man 3, and this is also going to introduce the new Fantastic Four that they're fucking rebooting again. Mm-hmm. Like they're rebooting Fantastic Four again. Actually, apparently. So
I wonder how that's gonna go.
Yeah, because apparently John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are
gonna play the. Well, they're great Fantastic together. Four. They're great. Well,
they're married.
They're married. But acting in general.
They're very good actors and actresses. They were also in that. What was that movie as well? It was about
A Quiet the, Place. The I quiet, think.
Is that A Quiet Place? Yeah, it's A Quiet Place. And they brought out A Quiet Place 2, I believe, coming
out. That movie got pushed back as well.
Got pushed back, okay. So, potentially, Kang is going to be somehow related to the quantum realm that has been fleshed out a little bit in the Marvel Universe with Ant-Man 2 and the Avengers Endgame. So, potentially, Kang will be a challenging villain or super villain against Ant-Man, and that will also maybe set up another Avengers one, as Kang the Conqueror is a time traveling Avengers villain.
That would make a little bit more sense, because at the end of the day, like I said, we told some of that on the last podcast, but sort of Marvel's sort of maxed out a little bit.
They've kind of maxed out their potential by doing Thanos and being acting so big, and then where do they go from here?
Yeah.
Do they go for a Kang? Do they go for a Galactus? Do they try and bring someone new or do a more interesting twist? The theory is that Avengers Endgame could be setting up Kang the Conqueror as the antagonist for them. I'm not too sure how they will do that, but that would also be an interesting thought, because I think Marvel does produce really... I do think they produce good movies. I know DC's been making a lot of moves lately in Marvel's absence, but it's interesting now that we get to see potentially some theories that are arising after we get, you know, Black Widow releases this year, Ant-Man 3 and Guardians of the Galaxy are potentially happening as well. So it's interesting now Marvel has got to get back on its bike and maybe make another Avengers film. I wonder what they do from here, because they've already kind of set the bar with the big Thanos storyline part one and part two.
I believe that what they're trying to do is they're trying to step into their own like multiverse, because Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. Yeah. So I remember, because the thing is, the whole point of Doctor Strange is plot is that he's meant to protect, you know, the multiverse. He's a master sorcerer, and the Time Stone, there's a lot of the Doctor Strange movie revolves around the Time Stone, and him saying, oh, when you mess with time, it messes with the fabric of reality.
Mm.
So that could be some consequences to what's happened. And I feel like the Multiverse of Madness movie is going to be a consequence of what happened within Endgame and Infinity War. So who knows? One thing that was surprising, though, is that we never really got that, you know, Hulk movie.
Apparently, they might be doing a She-Hulk
movie.
I'm not too sure how that goes with that. Maybe a Red Hulk movie. I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure how it goes from there. There's been a lot of interesting kind of theories lately about what they're going to do next. Although COVID makes it very hard for a lot of these big blockbuster movies to take place, because in order to produce filming, you can't always have COVID interfering with people traveling around the globe and coming in and you know, there's one I want to bring up is I don't know if you're familiar with The Blacklist. Do you know that one?
The Blacklist.
The Blacklist is a TV show. Is it Kevin? Who's the guy that plays...
I don't know this... I've heard of this TV show, but I don't know this
TV show. Who's the guy that plays the voice for Ultron in Marvel? Is it Kevin Spacey or something?
Not too sure about that one either.
One second. Oh, James Spader, sorry. I've mixed up with Kevin Spacey. oops. James Spader, he plays the man in the Blacklist. Now, that's been going on for a long time. However, in the last series, COVID actually interrupted filming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to see that on the parts that they finished the series, right? But how they finished the series was interesting. They actually took scenes that they hadn't filmed yet, but they had the script, and they cartoonized it, and they got people just to record their lines. And they actually made almost like a, similar to like almost like an anime. So it would switch from a real life kind of TV show, and in parts it would glitch out and change to an anime bit, and they would glitch back to the scenes where they filmed in real life.
What TV show was this?
The Blacklist.
Really?
Yeah, so it's interesting that they actually managed to finish the last episode, even with COVID. So it was very interesting. Now, I've already watched the full series and it's been out for a bit, but I found that was also an interesting thing that they were able to do. I found that really, really interesting that they could do that. I thought that was very cool.
I don't think that's ever been done before either.
I don't think that has been done, and it was a good way to do it, and they did it very well. The likeness to some of them, it almost seemed like it was pulled out of a video game, like an old video game or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was very, very cool to see. There was another thing I wanted to bring up though. I haven't watched it yet. It's a Netflix documentary called Social Dilemma. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Social Dilemma, it's got quite good ratings. I'll bring it up here. 8 out of 10 on IMDb, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 78% on Metacritic. It's meant to be a PG-13, and it's a documentary about the dangerous human impact of like technology, social media, coming from, you know, tech experts and things like that. And it's been doing very well so far. And it released in January. Now, I haven't seen it yet, and it goes on for about an hour and a half. Now, I want to watch it too. And apparently it brings forth quite a lot of ways that social media kind of has hybridized with our real life, but it has caused a lot of negative effects with how we live when it comes to ads, when it comes to when we look at some sort of story or news article or something like that, and we're looking at something that is causing outrage, then someone that also reads this is also shown something that's equally outrageous and also as negative, and they read that as well, and it interferes not just with our mental health, but it affects how we our culture as well. So I'm not sure how they released a trailer on August 28th, but I know that they produced, the initial release was January 2020. They must have moved it back, But it's been released now for a couple of days, I think. And a lot of people have been reviewing it. So it's interesting that we should probably watch that and maybe come back a week later and see what we think about the documentary.
What, we do our own, like, the last set movie review?
I think we could. I think we totally could. I think a lot of people were just mentioning that it kind of shows how we can be addicted to our phones, addicted to our computers, addicted to the shows and things like that. It's kind of hybridized with our life. We essentially are kind of like cyborgs.
Yeah, the thing is with me with now social media is that I dare say there are times when I believe that I was one of those, I was definitely one of those people who was sort of comparing myself to other people based on social media, and I understand why people do it. They see people who they believe are attractive, more smarter, or more fitter or more successful than them, and I understand why they want to, you know, be like them. But when I tell people is you gotta, it's a snapshot in time, it's a highlight reel, you know. You're never gonna post something, well, people do post things when they're down, but deep, you know, most people don't want to post something when they're down. They just want to post when they're happy to show, hey, look at me. But the thing is with me personally is that now I'm at a point in my life where I'm just doing so much stuff, you know. I got this podcast that we're doing, you know, I got my full-time job, I'm out of university, you know, I'm trying to save up so I can get my own place. When you are doing so many things and you are focusing so much on yourself, what the fuck you see on your phone does not bother me anymore, and it shouldn't bother you. And I feel like people just, you know, they one thing they hunger for is meaning in their life. And one thing I always tell people is don't pursue happiness. Happiness is just a moment in time, you know what I mean? Pursue what gives your life meaning. And when you find that meaning, you don't really care about what you're seeing on the screen. You care about what you're seeing in front of you in real life. And I feel like that's a point for me because, you know, I did say I was like one of those back in the day when I felt bored or anything. I felt like I wasn't doing much. But now that I'm doing so much, you know, it's things I care about. Yeah. You feel better about yourself. And that's what I think. That's what people should be doing. You know, and at the end of it, and then for things like this, I understand why it affects people so much, but
because we've all been through it.
Yeah, everyone's, I feel like everybody in their life, especially our generation,
so easy to get like, it sucked is, into yeah. that realm. I think a lot of us, I think me myself, I am a bit of a dopamine addict when it comes to my phone and things like that. I know you might be as well, but however, that, you know, there are times when you're working and so you can't look at your phone. But I think a lot of us younger generation, we are quite addicted to like the fast kind of like release of dopamine from looking at things and watching our favorite shows and things like that. I know, and that's why news is always compartmentalized into really short little snippets, so it gets that quick burst, because by the 30 seconds later someone's moved on to the next thing because they've got a bit bored. So it is an interesting thought. You know, there's another thing that I want to bring up, because this is also related to social media and things like that. It's interesting that we can get simulations for fights now. Now, I know this is the everyday hour, but I do want to bring this up because this is in MMA related. Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul is apparently happening, exhibition bout. Don't know what's going on. We believe it's because Floyd Mayweather Jr., he spends a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
Do I believe that he hasn't cashed the checks from his previous fights? Don't believe that. I think he's ran through a lot of money. He's an incredible fighter. I don't know why he's fighting Logan Paul. If anything, why wouldn't you fight KSI? If you are going to go that YouTube route, why did you face the loser?
If you are a hardcore boxing fan, you are probably right now just fucking punching your laptop or shaking your fist.
You're probably slamming your forehead into
Because you don't, in a situation like this, regardless of whether or not Logan Paul wins or loses, so the actual fight, he wins. He's going to get paid a shit ton of money to do this because he's got a massive fan base, you know. And if he beats, like in some alternate reality, if he beats Logan Paul, he becomes the shit. He becomes like a super A-list celebrity because he will now be known as the guy who basically was a YouTuber and boxed for a few years and did what people spend pretty much almost 90% of their lives trying to do and couldn't do. And he did it in a what? And he does it just then and there.
You mean Logan Paul beats Floyd Mayweather?
Just the other way around. Yeah, so Logan Paul beats Floyd Mayweather because the point.
Don't see it happening. Everyone's going to bring up that he has a puncher's chance.
Yeah,
that's if he hits.
Because he's huge too. He's like 200 pounds, and Floyd Mayweather.
I don't know how they're going to meet the. They must do some form of catch weight. Yeah. Maybe at 160 or 170. I have no idea how this is working. But the reason why I brought it up is you can get simulations for fights now, and someone has produced a Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul full fight simulation.
What? Really?
Yeah, would you like to watch it?
Yeah, I want
to
watch it. Okay.
So bring your mic across to...
Okay. So for the people who are watching on the audio, Jack is showing me a simulation right now of Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. It's like some sort of video game. 24 minutes.
We'll skip through it. But what they've done is they produced a... Actually, I'm going to go to the YouTube.
This is how crazy technology is. How powerful.
It's interesting how you can make a 24 kind of... So this was made in May 31st.
So what?
So well before it actually been released.
Yeah.
It was going to happen.
So this is well before, it was even announced. That's crazy. So
very, very interesting.
Someone did this. This is legit skill.
This has only got 1,500 views as well.
This must have been like made for like a video game or something.
Not too sure how they've done it.
Wow, these graphics are better than some video games I've played.
Do you reckon they're better than the UFC 4?
No. I haven't played that game.
I haven't played that game. I'd like to watch it too. Is it available on PS4? Probably is, eh?
Well, yeah.
We should probably get it.
We'll probably get it and we'll do a live stream.
We can play it here and we can play UFC 4.
And we'll do a live stream.
Yeah.
We start our own gaming channel.
Sure, let's do it.
Last Set Gaming.
TLS Gaming.
TLS Gaming. Okay, I like that. Yeah, well,
just so as you can see, just how evasive he is and things like that.
It
is funny to watch since like this doesn't really. I mean, this is definitely given Logan a lot of credit going 20 minutes with Mayweather. But you know, we know. Okay, so obviously Floyd's won. Let's see. It is funny that someone's produced this well before the fight just being even announced. So this is round 7 of 12. Going in for the clinch, coming out. Floyd's piecing him up, jabbing. A lot of Logan Paul's punches aren't connecting. Well, his simulation isn't connecting. And we're seeing Floyd come in, moving back out, disengaging again. He knocked him out with a jab.
Knocked him out with a jab.
Well, I don't know if that's happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
Uppercut.
Doesn't even connect that well. It's just...
No, to be honest, when you look at it now, it looks like Floyd, but it does not look like Logan Paul.
Yeah.
At all. Logan Paul gets up, 2, 3, 4, and he falls back on the mat. So, and it's stopped, they pull him over, he's unconscious.
Okay.
So, that is funny to watch. I don't even know how this fight takes place. I don't know how they're going to meet some form of catch.
Yeah,
fight.
I don't... He's been pretty silent about it too.
It hasn't really been released that much.
I haven't heard anything from Logan or Floyd about it.
I think they're waiting for the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul thing to finish.
Yeah.
Then they can throw the Logan Paul and the... I think Floyd will always have his credibility as one of the greatest boxers. I think a lot of people weren't happy with him fighting Conor McGregor. Now, that was a huge payday for him and for Conor, especially Conor.
Yeah.
But now that he's potentially... I believe they've signed the agreement that he's fighting Logan Paul. That's a weird thing to see. It's very strange to see because someone considered one of the greatest boxers ever shouldn't even be in the same realm as someone that's 0-1 professionally.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't make sense, would I like to see Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul in a wrestling match? Fuck yes. Because I know Logan Paul will fucking destroy him.
Well, maybe an MMA match.
Logan would destroy him in an MMA match, yeah. Let's be real. He would just wrestle him and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Another thing, and I really want to, because how long have we been going for? We've been going on for a little bit. Do you want to check
out? We're going on for just 55 minutes.
Okay, so last one I want to talk about was that, do you remember Frank Mir? Former UFC heavyweight champion. Now he's going to be signed with
Bare Knuckle Boxing. Yeah.
Now we know that Bare Knuckle Boxing has been taking a few fighters lately.
Yeah. They're building up a resume. They're doing a pretty good job of it as well.
He's heading to the Bare Knuckle Boxing now. Do I know if he's just going to be an ambassador for Bare Knuckle Boxing? Because apparently, Anthony Johnson was more of an ambassador and, for Bare Knuckle Boxing. It wasn't actually taking place. Do we know if he's actually going to be fighting in Bare Knuckle Boxing? We don't know. Would I pay to see it? Fuck yeah. Now, I don't know how old he is now because, he must be some age now because, you know,
he's got to be 40-something.
It was a long time ago when he became the heavyweight champion. I believe it was against Tim Sylvia that he...
Something. Yes, yeah, it was.
So, I'd like to know his age now.
He's 41.
Oh, so he's not that old. He's not that old. If you're getting Mike Tyson, buddy, 54-year-old or 53-year-old.
Sorry. This just came in a day ago. He hasn't signed with Bare Knuckle Fight Club yet.
Right. I did see that, but his manager didn't say yet. However, they are...
Looking to sign. Yeah. Well, we know Frank Mir has been the guy who fought against Brock Lesnar. You know, I think he beat him the first time. And then the second time, Brock Lesnar basically got him back. And then he was saying, Frank Mir had a horseshoe up his ass. I pulled that son of a bitch out and I beat him over the head with it. That was the weirdest line I've ever, one of the weirdest octagon interviews I've ever seen.
So his manager said he definitely hasn't signed yet, but good work all of you for jumping the gun. But the yet word seems to indicate that a deal is in the works. So he potentially is, going to move to Bare Knuckle Boxing. Would I pay to see it? Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! Also, I'd see that too.
You know that would be insane to watch. Yeah. All right. We'll wrap it up now.
Wrap it up just there. So guys, thanks for watching. This has been another episode of the Everyday Hour.
It's mixed in a little bit of MMA and boxing at the very end. But thanks so much for listening.
And guys, don't forget we're gonna have a very very big MMA hour on Sunday because it is Paulo Costa versus Israel Adesanya.
Absolutely huge, and we'll also be getting some new equipment and things like that. Better sounding audio. So. It's going to be sweet to see.
We are taking steps in this podcast, guys. So thank you so much for being patient. We are doing our best to get better and give the best content we can for you guys. So thank you.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
Take care, guys. Bye.